everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Making History. My name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the Hesses. And we're glad to be back.
Yep. As always.
As always. I love doing this.
I know. It's so fun.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, I was thinking about it when I was getting Oliver to sleep, that it's just so, it still feels a little surreal that, like, we're actually doing it.
Yeah.
Sometimes, because it's like, okay, well, I'm going to go downstairs and get out of my sweatpants. Get dressed up to go downstairs into my basement.
Yeah.
And record a podcast.
I wore sweatpants all day today.
Yeah,
until about 10 minutes ago.
Yep. Same.
I got dressed. And it's what, 9:30?
Yep.
10 o'clock? Something like that.
It's like reverse.
Yeah.
Normal dress.
Right. So, really quick recap. Last week was Thanksgiving.
It was.
And we had a great time.
Yeah.
We went to Nashville.
Yeah. Went to my parents' house, and my sister and her family all came and got to spend time with her and her husband and little nieces or niece and nephews. And
yeah.
Yeah. They had some good cousin time. All the kids.
Yeah.
They always love playing together.
They do. And they play so well together.
They, like,
so fun.
Squeal. Oh, that was fun. I just remembered that they surprised us. Well, surprised the girls by stopping by on their way to Nashville. So they live in South Carolina. They were driving through to Nashville and stopped at our house.
Because they were
an extra pit stop, basically.
Basically
driving
going
right through.
Right by.
And we didn't tell the girls. And so they pull up and we hear the car door, and then followed very quickly by Nora screaming.
Yeah, I've never heard her make those noises before.
No, she was so excited. So that was really cute.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the week was great. I feel like, I mean, it was good time with family, good food. I spent pretty much the entire day in the kitchen on Wednesday with my mom, but it was really fun.
Yeah.
Like, in a good way. Spent the entire day in the kitchen with her preparing. And it was funny, just the amount of times that I had to be like, is this the right thing? You know, it's like, still have to ask my mom how to do things. But I feel like that's just like a sweet, almost like sentimental time of like, mom, tell me how to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was fun.
Yeah. We tried to take the girls to Opryland Hotel.
We did.
So if you don't know what Opryland Hotel is, look it up in Nashville, because it's crazy.
It's beautiful.
If you've never heard of it, it's not like any hotel you've ever seen or heard of before.
It's like an amusement park, but with no roller coasters.
Well, it's like an entire city and an entire jungle.
Right.
Indoors, inside.
Yes. It's amazing.
This hotel. And there's a river that runs through it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take boat rides
right
in the hotel. Like, it's crazy. Anyways, they go really big for Christmas.
Yeah. Super.
And it's
detailed.
Amazing.
Things everywhere. So many lights.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
And so we tried to bring the girls to see that, and they wouldn't let us in.
Nope.
Because they had given you false information.
Yeah, which I was hoping, like, hey, one of your people told me this.
Yeah.
So you should let us in. But it's one of those, like, he said, she said situations, but ugh, I was so annoyed.
Yeah, because for the last few years, really since COVID, they changed the rules.
Mm-hmm.
It used to just be anybody could go anytime.
Right, just walk, go walk right around, in. Go look at all the decorations.
There's tons of, like, shops and restaurants.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so much fun. And now you can only go before 2 p.m., apparently, which is lame, because who wants to go see Christmas lights when it's light outside?
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
That was a bummer. And they told me, yeah, you can come anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime. You know, we're not shutting it down at 2 p.m. on the weekdays. Like, you're good to come anytime you want. So we're like, awesome. We get there. Nope. Had to come before 2 p.m. It's like,
yeah.
No.
So we just walked over to the mall, because Opry Mills Mall is right next door.
Right.
And
which is also like
we had
a whole experience.
It is. We had a really good time there.
Yeah.
We went to one of the best candy stores.
Oh my gosh,
we've been
it was
to.
Awesome.
It was enormous.
Huge,
Huge candy store. We went to the Lego store, which is always fun.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yep. When we were in the candy store, Nora was the whole time begging us to leave so we could go to the Lego store.
Which we were like, what? Yeah. What kind of world are we living in that you are asking our 7-year-old or almost 7-year-old kid asking to leave a candy store?
I know. And I literally said that to her. I was like, hey, I've never seen a kid try so hard to get out of a candy store. Can you give me 5 minutes in here to look around? Because I'm having so much fun in here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was fun.
It was fun.
Lego store was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, just overall a great week.
Yep. It's good.
Yep. The only, I guess, downside, Ollie's been having a hard time sleeping.
Yeah. I don't know.
Going to sleep, I should say.
You could call it a sleep. I mean, it's not even really a sleep regression. It's just like he's fighting going to sleep. Once he's asleep, he does great.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's taken me like an hour to get him to go to sleep.
Right. It used to be like 10 minutes.
Right. Literally, he would like
5-10 minutes.
Eat for a second and then just pass out, and I'd lay him down and that was it.
Yep.
Bing, bang, boom. But this time, or this week, has just been oof.
Yeah.
It's tested my patience. I will say that there have been moments where I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to put you in your bed and figure it out.
Whatever happens, happens.
Good luck to you.
Yeah.
Ooh, but yeah, but then I have to remind myself, like, no. Like, it's actually a privilege to be the person that, like, he feels safe with so that he can go to sleep.
For an hour and a half.
Yeah. It's a struggle.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of been our week.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd mentioned that we're going to keep talking on the topic of punishment and discipline.
Yep.
And it's just a really fun topic for us to talk about.
It is.
It's just one of those topics that once you start to like catch the weightiness of just how differently kids can be corrected and how they can be treated.
Yeah.
And the long-term ramifications of that.
Right.
It's just really, it gets really like interesting to start to think about and dissect.
Yeah.
Because we have a vision for who we want our kids to become as adults. And like you and I have never really been interested in just like winging it.
No.
Right.
And like terrible.
With parenting, there is a degree to where like, especially like Nora being our first, every new phase she comes into is a new thing for us to figure out.
Yeah.
And so on one hand, like we have goals and we have values and we have principles put in place that regardless of our kids' age and gender and personality type, those things aren't going to change.
Right.
Now with each of them, we're finding that the application may be a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Izzy may need different things than Nora does and vice versa. And I'm sure Oliver will be different than both of them in many ways.
Yep. They always say that like you feel like you have parenting mastered with the first kid. It's we are pros.
We're nailing this.
Everybody's saying this is so hard, is so wrong, like this is so easy. And then the second kid comes along and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Nothing.
Yeah. It's exactly how it felt.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I was saying, our values and our goals and our principles, those things don't change. Mm-hmm. But the way we navigate sort of the, I don't know, intricacies of having different kids with different situations requires a lot of intentionality and thought.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we haven't been interested in just like kind of winging it, just, you know, whatever happens, we'll just do whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a lot of people, their idea of parenting is just, well, I'll just do whatever my parents did.
Right.
Sometimes that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we can do better.
Right.
Oh, if we're being honest. And we don't say that to sound like dishonoring to anybody's parents, even our own.
Right.
Because we've had amazing parents.
Yes.
But our hope is that our kids will even be better than we are.
Right. Yeah. I would almost be a little bit sad if like Nora one day comes back to me and was like, well, I'm just doing exactly what you do. I'm like, okay, but what does it look like for your family though?
Yeah.
I'm just copying exactly what you do. Like, I'm like, okay. I don't know that I would go as far to say I would be like disappointed, I guess, but
I'd want to know, like, surely there's something you thought throughout your lifetime, throughout your childhood. So surely there was something you thought that we could have done better.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
So yeah, you and I we've always kind of wanted a plan Mm-hmm. We've wanted to do this really intentionally.
Yeah.
And part of that process has looked like reading and listening to podcasts and mm-hmm. paying attention to other parents around us and asking questions yeah. when we see parents raising kids who we like.
Mm-hmm.
We ask questions and we want to know, like, what are you doing that's working?
Yes.
And what is, then I think you asked a second ago, like, what does that look like for our family?
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of what we've learned is that you've got to understand the difference between punishment and discipline.
Yeah.
And I'll give just a very brief recap of some of the stuff we talked about, just in case somebody happens to be hopping in and this was their first episode.
Okay.
If this is your first episode, go back. You can go back. I recommend you go all the way back to the beginning, but yeah. if not, at least go back to the last episode, because mm-hmm. we're going to be kind of continuing the conversation. One of the things we talked about last week is how punishment is primarily rooted in fear.
Right.
And something I didn't mention last week that I'd like to talk about a little bit is how oftentimes punishment looks like using fear to get our kids to do what we want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked about that, how like with young kids, it for most kids, now it doesn't work with everybody, but for most young kids, you can scare them into doing what you want them to do.
Right. Yeah. You can threaten.
Mm-hmm.
You can
intimidate,
tell them how much you're going to take away until mm-hmm. they just give in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so for parents who use sort of this, as we've called it, like punishment paradigm,
mm-hmm.
they use fear to try to get kids to comply. But often the motivation for using fear as a tactic is because the parents themselves are actually afraid.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of parents who parent this way are maybe have given thought to this specific like facet of what's going on.
Yeah.
But when parents use fear as a tactic, it's often because they're afraid. And the thing that they're afraid of is the freedom that their kids have to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And the freedom really that they have to do things that the parents wouldn't have them do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what happens is they create this cycle where the parent is afraid of the freedom that the kid has.
Mm-hmm.
So the parent tries to make the kid more afraid of them than they are of the freedom that the kid has.
Yeah.
And they think, well, I'm scared of the potential that you have to do things that I wouldn't want you to do,
mm-hmm.
to make a mistake, to be destructive, to be annoying, to be anything,
yeah.
right? Inconvenient. And so they think, this typically happens on a subconscious level, but it typically goes, I'm afraid of you, so I'm going to make you afraid of me. And mm-hmm. if I can make you really afraid of me, then I can get you or force you to make the right choice.
Yeah.
I can force you to comply with what I want you to do.
Right.
When I think about raising a kid like that, what I project into the future is that I would be raising kids who will enter adulthood one day, move out of our house,
mm-hmm.
whether they go off to college or just move out. And they wouldn't have been equipped by us to think critically, to actually like problem solve. They wouldn't have value for thinking through the choices that they're making.
Yeah.
And the long-term like effects of those choices.
Right.
Because when kids are raised to just do what I say or else, when kids are raised to comply because they're afraid, they get really good at hiding their behavior,
mm-hmm.
and they don't really learn. They're not really equipped with anything.
Right.
And they'll find themselves totally unprepared to handle what life has for them
mm-hmm.
outside of the safety of the parents' house.
Right. Yeah, because when you spend your life just trying to avoid punishment out mm-hmm. of the fear of being punished, all you're doing is sneaking around and trying to just stay under the radar.
Yeah.
And basically what you're doing is offloading any type of choice making to the punisher
mm-hmm.
because you're terrified
right.
of making a decision that might be different than what the punisher would want.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just waiting and hoping that they'll show you which from the outside could look like kindness.
Sure.
Honestly, it could look like being good and being nice because you are just following orders.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing what you're told.
Yeah.
But when that motivation is trying to avoid being punished, then all you're doing is just basically turning yourself into a little yes robot.
Right.
Or a yes man.
Mm-hmm.
And just doing everything that you can to avoid like the attention that you might get by speaking up and making your own choice.
Yeah. And when I think about the type of kids that we want to raise and the type of adults we want to try to help them become,
mm-hmm.
It looks like people who have self-control.
Right.
And have not been reliant on our ability to control them to mm-hmm. do what's right. So we want to raise kids who are responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by responsible, I think I won't go too far down this rabbit trail because we have a whole episode, I think, dedicated to this. So
yeah.
Go back and listen to that if you haven't heard it. But responsibility is having the ability to respond to the circumstances and the events of life,
mm-hmm.
most of which are outside of our control. But the one thing that we always can control is our response or reaction to what's happening.
Yeah.
So if I want to raise kids who have the ability to respond well to the events and circumstances of life,
mm-hmm.
the good, the bad, the hard, the easy, we're going to have to teach them that the way they feel, the way they act, the choices they make, and the consequences that come are a direct result of the one thing that they are in control of,
yeah.
which is themselves.
Right.
And so we don't want to raise kids who are victim mindset, blame shifting, everything's going poorly and there's nothing I can do about it. It's everybody right. else's fault.
Exactly.
I'm not interested in that.
No.
And a lot of this stems, like you can trace all of this back to this concept of punishment versus discipline.
Mm.
Because when we get into discipline, we start understanding that there's a way of correcting kids without instilling fear and shame and anxiety,
yeah.
without causing disconnection. There are ways to correct kids while actively teaching them and equipping them
mm-hmm.
with more excellent ways to live and right. to act and to speak.
Yep. And actually further enabling that connection.
Yeah.
And deepening the connection mm-hmm. that you have with your kids.
Right.
That is what like the real goal of correction can, or the real result of connection can look like.
Yeah.
And look like, oh, this is actually really like bringing us closer on a level that I never would have expected.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if you think about it, it makes so much sense when you actually explain to a kid.
Yeah.
Why, you know, why this is why I ask you not to do this.
Right.
Because like you may get hurt or you may hurt somebody else. You're actually inviting them into more understanding, therefore empowering them
mm-hmm.
to be an even more responsible person. And so they feel respected.
Yeah.
And so they want to return that respect to you. And it's just like that creates such a beautiful cycle
mm-hmm.
of like, hey, I'm communicating this with you so that you can fully understand your process of decision making and so that you can explain to me. And so we'll, you know, it's,
yeah.
I feel like it's just an amazing return on your investment when you actually take the time to bring your kids into the explanation.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually teach and equip them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you communicate to your kids through not just your words, but through your actions, when you communicate to them that you trust them,
mm-hmm.
they'll respect you.
Yeah.
And we talked about this a few episodes ago, but when your kids respect you, when anybody that you are, if you're in a position of leadership, if you are leading people who respect you, you'll have influence over them.
Mm-hmm.
So when people start to lose respect for their leaders and they don't have value for their leaders or where they're leading them,
mm-hmm.
the leaders stop having influence over them.
Yeah.
And so when that happens in the home, that's often, or that may be another opportunity for parents to step into control.
Mm.
Because they realize that they don't have influence over their kids.
Yeah.
The kids are not cooperative.
Right.
And for a lot of parents, that can be very for lack of a better word, triggering.
Sure. Yeah.
Much as I hate to use that word. But for a lot of parents, that can be a very like triggering, anger-inducing thing to have kids who are not cooperative.
Right.
To, you know, to have kids who you feel like don't respect you. Mm-hmm. And that's when anger and control and intimidation step in.
Yeah.
And it's this subconscious, like, if I can't influence you in kindness, in whatever, you know, my form of kindness, mm-hmm. to do what I think is best for you, I'm gonna get it one way or another.
Right.
So
yeah.
I've told you what I expect. And if mm-hmm. you're not going to do it, then here comes scary rage monster dad.
Yep.
You know,
all the tools have flown out of the tool belt and yeah. I'm just coming at you with the with an open hand.
Yeah. Yeah. And
yep.
We've mentioned Danny Silk before. He's somebody that if you're interested in this topic, you've got to read his books. You've got to listen to his stuff. He's brilliant. Really good.
Yeah.
But he talks about how like when he was like first started off parenting, mm-hmm. he said all of his parenting tools looked like hammers.
Yep.
He really only had one type of tool and it was a hammer. Mm-hmm. And he just learned over time that there are so many different ways of interacting and correcting and connecting with kids mm-hmm. and leading them really to the place that we all want. Like it's okay to want cooperative kids who respect you.
Right.
But there are certain ways that you can achieve that. And mm-hmm. there are certain things you can do that will cause that to vanish completely.
Right. Yeah. And that's one of those things that going back to previous episodes that like, obedient kids is a great outcome.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a good goal.
Terrible goal. That's exactly it. Yep. Great outcome.
So
we love our kids listen very well to us.
Yes.
And we appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But we've also raised them to understand that we're not in control of them.
Right.
We're in charge of them.
Yeah.
But we're not in control of them.
Exactly.
We've worked really hard to help them understand that they control themselves. Mm-hmm. So when they hit, when they yell, when they fight, when they do anything that, you know, we find is not as excellent. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I should say that is out of alignment with who we know they are.
Yeah.
Because we know that they were created by Jesus mm-hmm. to be like him.
Yeah.
And so part of our job is to help them recognize that. And so when we see behavior that is out of alignment with that, we can kind of help bring them and correct them, bring them back into alignment. Mm-hmm.
And not by just saying, stop doing that.
Right.
And then leaving it there.
Yeah.
Because maybe they'll stop for a second. Mm-hmm. But then the next time that same opportunity rolls around, what do you think they're going to do?
Right.
If they don't have an explanation of why you would like them to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Of why it's counter to who they are and their true identity is like a child of God. Mm-hmm. If they don't have that explanation, they're going to continue doing that behavior. Not because they're a terrible kid.
Right.
Just because that is obviously their nature.
Right.
To do that. If that's their first response, if that's their reaction, mm-hmm. then that is what they've learned.
That's what's in them currently.
And so do you want to actually help them learn a better, more excellent way? Or mm-hmm. do you just want a temporary fix to this problem?
Right.
Because that's really like, that's one way to look at the difference between punishment and discipline.
Yeah.
Punishment, I think you could argue, is a very temporary way to get what you want.
Yeah.
While discipline is the long game mm-hmm. where you actually see like and can foster that relationship so that you see that connection like produce beautiful fruit over time. So when they're out from under your roof, that you continue to see that like,
right.
good response ability. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the practicalities of discipline versus punishment. So you just mentioned that like one of the ways parents may go about getting their kids to not do something mm-hmm. is to just yell.
Yeah. Quit doing that.
To make themselves bigger and scarier. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right in the way you said it in that like kids who are just yelled at mm-hmm. to stop, they're not actually being actively equipped or taught anything in that moment.
Right.
So let's talk about some ways that we have used those opportunities to actually teach and equip with new skill sets and new ways of thinking. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, that's what kids need.
Right.
Right. They're born unequipped, mm-hmm. and it's our job to equip them.
Yeah. We can't expect them to come out, or obviously not come out of the womb, but like once they start walking and talking, it's not like all of a sudden they get this like download of like, oh, right. okay, this is what it looks like to look like Jesus. And this is what it looks like to not look like Jesus. Yeah. We have to show them that. And we have to take the time to actually be intentional in showing them what that looks like, not just by explaining, but living that way ourselves as well.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And the tools, whatever tools we have, will be the tools that we hand to our kids.
Yeah.
And so if the only tools that we have are hammers, mm-hmm. if the only way we know how to deal with our kids is by using force mm-hmm. and being angry,
yeah,
then those will be the tools that our kids pick up from us.
Absolutely.
And oftentimes parents expect their kids to have different tools than they have.
Yeah.
They expect their kids to be able to think and to respond differently and to have self-control when the parents themselves don't actually have that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if that's not a tool that you have that you are actively equipping your kids with mm-hmm. to know how to use, they're not going to get it from, or well, they may get it, but it won't be from you.
Right.
So as parents, we need to be equipped with the same tools that we hope our kids will be one day.
Absolutely.
So let's come up with a scenario here. Let's say Nora and Izzy. So if you don't know, Nora is nearly 7 mm-hmm. and Isabel is our 3-year-old.
Yeah.
And overall, they get along really well. Mm-hmm. They play well for the most part, but they're sisters, they're siblings. They spend a lot of time together.
Yeah. And they're both homeschooled, you know, like we're in the house a lot.
Yeah.
All together.
Yeah. So they have plenty of opportunity to fight and to get on each other's nerves. Mm-hmm. And Izzy is a younger sister. She's also the second born. And she is just a little bit more of a wild card than Nora is. And so, you know, there can be tension and they'll fight as siblings do. But we have found that, as we said before, that when, let's say they're fighting about something, mm-hmm. to go in the room and just yell at them to stop.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest, like, I've done that. I'm not going to pretend like.
We do all the right things every time.
there are even while we've expanded our tool belt, there are mm-hmm. still a couple of hammers in there.
Yeah, I mean, the way that we've found the things that work the best is by doing the things that work the worst.
Sure, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like you have to figure it out. Mm-hmm. So give yourself grace, please.
Yeah.
And give us grace.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll tell you our failures too.
Yeah. So, and one of the things we've been dealing with recently with Nora is that she's very short-tempered with Izzy specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Izzy, just she'll get on her nerves very quickly.
Right.
And instantly. Nora doesn't have a lot of patience with her right now. No. Talk about some examples of ways that you've not just told Nora what not to do, mm-hmm. but that you've helped her understand like what to do. Because there's a difference between just telling a kid what not to do and then actually continuing on and mm-hmm. saying, like, here's what you can do instead that will produce a better result.
Right. Yeah. So thinking of a recent specific time, last night, this one just made me giggle because it was so ridiculous. Last night, they've made up this game in our kitchen, to give a little bit of context, where if you've ever seen Bluey, it's a very Bluey-like game where they just like tiptoe back and forth from the kitchen to the living room, making different sound effects.
Yeah, so are they still doing this?
They're still doing this.
Okay.
So
I thought that was just like a one-time thing.
This is going on. Great. It's happened like 4 times today.
Okay, very
cool. Most of the time when you're out of the house, so it you're welcome. It is
honestly the most Bluey, like real-life Bluey thing I've ever seen.
And they did not get it from Bluey, which was shocking. But anyways, going for the story. So they were doing this, and Nora was on her way back to the kitchen. And as she was like running or tiptoeing or doing whatever she was doing, she stepped on a toy hammer that was on the mat by the door that I had told them repeatedly mm-hmm. to pick up throughout the day. And so in those times, it's really difficult for me to have any sympathy because I'm like, hey, I actually told you to pick up that hammer so many times.
You had plenty of opportunity to pick up the very thing that you just stepped on. So,
but anyway, so she steps on it. It hurts her foot.
Yep.
And also she's very sensitive when it comes to like bodily injuries. So who knows if the thing even hurt her. It hurt her feelings. And so instantly she turns to Izzy and goes, Izzy, why did you leave that there?
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
Time out.
Hold on just a second. And I literally, this was exactly what I said. I was like, it's really funny because I think I asked both of you girls to pick that hammer up multiple times today. And she was like, well, Mom, Izzy's the one who left it there. And I was like, maybe. But hey, you had the opportunity to pick it up too.
Right. It's technically your hammer.
Right. It literally came from one of your toys.
Yeah.
And so I just asked her, I was like, it might have been Izzy, but I asked you to pick it up as well. And so, you know, like maybe let's not be so quick to jump on Izzy about this. And she was like, yeah, but she left it there and now it hurt my foot. And I was like, okay. I was like, well, what do you think that a different response would have been? So in that moment, instead of saying, hey, don't yell at your sister.
Yeah.
Be nice. I said, hey, what do you think a better way to handle this would be, or a different way to handle this would be? She was like, I could ask her nicely to pick it up. And I was like, yeah, great. And I was like, how about let's see what that looks like. Let's hear what that looks like. So she was like, Izzy, can you please move the hammer? You know, and so there are definitely some like little attitudes sneaking in there. But overall, she gets the concept. And so she proceeded to demonstrate what a different response would have looked like in the moment. And then I was like, okay. I was like, so it seems like maybe you jumped to blaming Izzy a little bit because you were frustrated. So I helped her identify that emotion that she was feeling that triggered that
produced
reaction.
Yeah.
Yep. And so she was like, And I said, well, is there anything, a question that I learned from Lael Stone? I don't know if we've dropped her name yet.
I
honestly cannot remember what her title is, but she has a podcast and she's like some kind of child. She worked with child development and she's got a lot of brilliant information. But she uses the phrase, what do we need to do to repair this situation? And so I was like, okay, well, isn't there anything that we need to do to repair what just happened? Because it seems like Izzy's feelings are a little bit hurt because you yelled at her. And so she was like, I need to apologize. I was like, awesome.
Great.
I was like, when you're ready for it, go for it. And because that's one thing that I've had to work on is not forcing an apology right then and there, which sometimes I still do because I'm like, let's just get this done, please. But this time I was like, whenever you're ready, just like tell Izzy that you're sorry for blaming her when it wasn't really her fault. And so she did. And then they went right back about their business.
Yep.
But in that moment, what I tried to do was help her. Like I caught her in the moment saying like, hey, that wasn't a great reaction. Let's see what we can do differently, bringing her critical thinking into play so that she can find a different response rather than me just telling her like, hey, you need to do that differently. You need to say this, this, and this, and this. And so she was able to figure out what was better in that moment, what was more excellent in that moment. And so she did it and I had her actually practice it because those brain pathways, the more you practice, the more excellent way, the easier it's going to be for that to become your first response.
Yep.
And, you know, then she went about it. She apologized and they were totally fine.
Yep. Yeah. I love that. Did either of them end up picking up the hammer?
Honestly, I don't even know.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. But I can't remember.
And like, that's just one of those things though. That's like, if you don't pick up the hammer and you step on it again, like you're not going to get a lot of sympathy.
Sorry about it.
and you know, a big part of like what we believe and have honestly seen like a lot of fruit from, like what we believe to be like very helpful in like teaching and correcting and equipping them, is finding safe ways for them to like make a mistake, safe ways for them to get hurt, safe ways for them to fail.
Yes.
And be there to, like you did, like ask questions, because questions promote critical thinking.
Right.
And, you know, being ready to provide an alternate way of doing things, or like a more excellent response, or, you know.
Yes. Because if Nora wasn't able to come up with a, you know, a more excellent response in that moment, I would have given her the option of like, hey, well, do you want my help? And then you can in that moment offer like, okay, well, maybe try saying this instead, or reacting this way, or responding this way instead of this way.
Yeah.
So if your kid isn't ready or isn't able to come up with a response themselves, totally fine.
Yeah.
Just show them the way.
Yeah. And by you asking her, is there a better way, a different way that you could have reacted that would have maybe produced a better result? She came up with the answer. So what that tells us is that she has the tool.
Yeah.
It just is not yet the one that she's reaching for first.
Right.
And so she knows it's there.
That's
she
the
understands.
One in the backpack. That's not the one in the tool.
Yeah, let's get that right in the holster. I don't know how to get it right there exactly.
Super fast.
But yeah, so, and so this is, and it's a process that takes time and it requires tons of consistency.
Yeah.
There are different tools that we can give them and teach them how to use for repairing situations and when they've done something that has caused hurt or pain or anything like that in their relationships.
Yeah.
So there's teaching them the tools that they have, but then there's also like the consistency and the time that it takes for that to be the tool that they actually reach for rather than just the hammer. Because the hammer comes out real easy for everybody.
Right. Yeah.
And so,
and that's the easy one. So like, do you want the easy way or do you want the best way?
Right. Yeah.
Because, it's really easy just to be like, quit doing that or stop talking like that, you know. But then like, if you stop to think about it for a second, if you're yelling at your kid to stop talking in a mean way to their sibling, you currently are talking in a mean way to your kid to tell them to stop talking meanly to their sibling. So it's like, okay, we can actually trace this back really easy to where that behavior showed up first.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. They have the tools that we'll give them.
Yep.
And they get those tools by mostly just watching us and imitating what we do. So,
which can be hard to swallow. Sometimes there have been many moments where Nora has said something that I'm like, that was me.
Yeah.
I've literally said that today. Yep. And now I'm going to work on not saying that. And I will vocalize that to them. I'm like, hey, you know what? I didn't really like how that sounded coming out of your mouth. But I understand that that is what you've heard come out of my mouth. And so I'm going to work on not saying that. And I give them permission to actually speak into that area of my life of like, hey, you can call me out on this. And I'll like, you know, lay some ground rules. Like, you don't get to like become the parent. But like, if you hear me say something like this, like, let me know.
Yeah.
And we'll work together to like work on better responses.
Yeah. There are definitely times for that. And I think that's so helpful in just in that process of like building trust and respect. Because again, going back to like, who do we want our kids to become? We want our kids to become adults who have like humility and a desire to grow, but also like a willingness to face their weaknesses and their faults. And one of the ways we can do that is by offering them the opportunities, like you said, specific opportunities to speak into their experience with us. But yeah, it's not letting them parent us.
No.
Because like there are some times where like recently, I don't know if it was like candy or cookies or something, like I gave the girls something and then whatever it was, I had more of it than they did. And so if they had one cookie, I had like two or three. And Nora would be like, Dad, that's not fair. Like, why do you get to have two cookies? And I'm like, because I'm the dad.
Because I'm the dad.
And you're a kid. Right now you're going to get one cookie.
When you're a mom, you can have two cookies.
Exactly. Yeah. When you've got kids, you can figure out how many cookies. With
privileges being a parent.
Yeah. And I think there's something to giving kids. And I say that like I want people to know that we do have a very like playful relationship with our kids.
Yeah.
To where we can speak very directly and firmly and honestly, but do it in such a way that like it's still like love comes through.
Yeah.
But it's just the reality of like I'm the dad, so I hate that for you. But sometimes I'm gonna eat more cookies than you.
Yeah.
And that's just how it's gonna be.
I have made mom texts a very real thing.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I'm like, hey, you're having this, I'm gonna take a bite first. Yeah. No, it's yours.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know who came up with that, but thank you for that because that is a brilliant phrase.
It is.
I love it.
Yeah. But and I think in doing all of this, it gives our kids something to look forward to one day.
Yeah.
Because if we parent very like weakly and passively and we're very permissive and we let the kids run the show and they kind of get whatever they want.
Yeah.
And often what that looks like is like kids who are in charge are the ones that, what I mean when I say like kids who are in charge, sometimes I will see a parent give a kid something as like a preemptive strike against a tantrum that they know will come if they say no.
Yeah.
And so like if it's a cookie, if it's an iPad, whatever it is, if my kid gets access to that thing from me because I'm afraid of the tantrum or embarrassed or whatever, don't want to deal with the tantrum that will come if I say no,
right?
They're in charge because they know how to get what they want.
Absolutely.
Give me what I want or I'll throw a tantrum.
Yep.
Right. So they're running the show.
They're literally holding you hostage.
They're running the show.
Yeah.
And I want our kids to have something to look forward to.
Yes.
Like, you're not the parent right now.
Mm-hmm.
I am. And so
that's something that like I've had conversations with Nora about too, that like, hey, just be a kid. Because she is so naturally like maternal and nurturing and like just very thoughtful and caring for everybody around her. So like that is an amazing quality, but I also don't want her to feel like she has the responsibility to take care of everything and everybody around her, because that's not being a kid.
Yeah.
It's being an adult. So I've had many times where I'm like, hey, you do not have to do that. Like, you don't have to tell Izzy to take two more bites.
Right.
Until she can get up. That's a real life example,
she
by the way.
She loves that. Yeah.
And so, like, there have been so many times where we're like, hey, you're not the parent. You can just let go. You can just be the fun sister. You don't have to correct her. Yeah. You don't have to be responsible for her decisions. Like, just enjoy it.
Yeah. And that's another example of one of those things where it's like she understands. You know, if you want to use the tool analogy or whatever, like she understands what we have been actively teaching her and equipping her with, but it's just often not her like instinct.
Right.
And so her instinct is still to like try to parent Izzy.
Yep.
And so oftentimes I'll hear her say something in like another room and I'll just like peek around the corner and just kind of look at her. And she knows immediately exactly what I'm thinking and what she did. And so sometimes I'll just give her a look like, is that really how you want this to go right now? And
she'll has gotten to that point where a look is enough.
Yep. Yeah.
Not because like a mean look, it's just like
come on. Like you know. And often she'll just like start like smiling and she'll be like, I know exactly what's happening right now.
She does that little like if you're not watching, that little like smile where it's like you raise your eyebrows and you're like, ooh. Like a nervous smile.
Yeah. It's like she knows. It's just a matter of us being consistent in our teaching and our equipping, so that the things that she knows but doesn't yet, it's not necessarily like a go-to, that it becomes like the natural expression.
So there were actually two things that happened today that really were just so on point with what we're talking about, just the difference of kids who have been raised in a punishment household and kids who have been raised in a disciplined household.
Yeah.
So Izzy, when you were not here, Nora and I were up doing school, and so I've been every now and then, if it's like a harder day with school, I'll use treats as incentive to like just have a little bit of motivation to get through the lessons.
Yeah.
And so I had a couple little treats up there for Nora. Izzy had already gotten a piece for finishing her school. Mm-hmm. And Izzy went downstairs, which is not unlike her. Yeah. You know, she'll go down and play with toys and just kind of roam around. You know, typically yeah. she doesn't get into too much mischief. Well, a few minutes later, she comes up, has this like sticky blue stuff all around her mouth. And she was like, mommy, I did something. And I was like, what did you do? And she pulls a little like saltwater taffy yeah. wrapper out from, I think she was just kind of holding it by her side. And I was like, oh, she goes, I got some candy without asking. I'm so sorry, mommy.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know, yeah. like the fact that she came to me, mm-hmm. like she, I would love to know her thought process. Mm-hmm. Like what's going on in there?
Yep.
But she comes up, confesses
yep.
she could have very well have just eaten the candy, thrown away the trash. She probably wouldn't have wiped off her mouth. So I probably would have found
yeah.
her. But still, you know, she could have tried to hide yeah. it and cover it up and avoid the punishment. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of affirming to me because I was like, oh, okay. She feels safe.
Yes.
She trusts me enough yeah. to come to me and know that I'm not going to smack her across the face. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell her she can never have candy ever again.
You're not going to yell at her.
You know, I'm not going to yell at her. And so she was like, I'm so sorry, mom. And you could tell, like, in her little face that she was yeah. so genuine about yeah. it. And it was so cute. And I was like, oh, I was like, that is kind of a bummer. And I was like, why did you feel like you needed to sneak it? Mm-hmm. And she was like, I just really wanted another one. I was like, okay. And I was like, well, I was like, do you know what needs to happen now? And she was like, I don't get any more candy. And I was like, yeah, I was like, probably, like, if you would have asked me, you mm-hmm. know, maybe we could have had another piece again today. I was like, but we're not going to have any more candy, you know, after yeah. school. I was like, we'll talk about it the rest of the day, see what happens. I was like, but no more candy mm-hmm. for now. And she was like, okay, you know.
Yeah.
And then she was like, can you help me? And, like, cleaned her up. And it was just like a really sweet interaction that mm-hmm. she came, she confessed,
yeah.
we went about it. She got, you know, she was disciplined, no more candy, because it was gonna, I had told her that she would get a piece after Nora was all done.
Oh yeah.
And so because she didn't wait, she didn't get one. Mm-hmm. And she was bummed, you know, she yeah. was like, can I please have one? But I just told her, I was like, no. I was like, do you remember why? She said, because I was sneaky.
Yeah.
Like, yep. And then the other example was mm-hmm. your Bible. I don't know if you want to tell that.
Yeah.
But
so, yeah, she did the same thing with me. So I have a Bible, and it has kind of like a, it's not like leather, but mm-hmm. it's, I don't know what you would call it. Like a
leather.
Yeah, like a fake leather. Anyways, it's got like a flap that comes all the way around it. And mm-hmm. then to keep the flap down, there's like a really long, probably this long,
yeah.
really long string that you kind of, or like a, made yeah. of the same material that you kind of wrap around it, mm-hmm. kind of tie it, and it just keeps it closed and it keeps it nice. And she was kind of playing with it, and mm-hmm. in the process she had pulled the whole thing out.
Yep.
And so she came to me, she came right to me.
Yep.
And like showed it to me, or told me, she's like, oh yeah, she came and she goes, Daddy, I made a mistake. So I'm in the kitchen. She comes in and goes, Daddy, I made a mistake. Mm-hmm. And she wanted me to come see what she did.
Yep.
And so I was like, yeah. So I put down whatever I was doing and I walked in the living room with her and she showed me what it was. Mm-hmm. And so there are two very specific things that you and I did that yeah. I think are promoting this kind of connection and this kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. We did two very specific things. One, we communicated that like, well, yeah, like that wasn't, yeah. you know, not ideal.
Right.
So with the candy, like, you're right. So, like, you weren't telling her, like, oh, no, it's okay,
it's
you know?
Okay, yeah.
So, like, it's, yeah, we're communicating that, like, yeah, being sneaky isn't good. Mm-hmm. And so taking candy that you know you're not meant to have, that's not good.
Yeah.
That kind of behavior, you know, from our perspective, that's not going to get them very far in life.
Right.
And so we want them to be disciplined. And so the same thing with the Bible. Like, it wasn't a big deal.
Right.
But as far as she knows, it was very easy for me to just slide it right back in through the little slots and, you know, tie it back on. But to her, in her little mind, she may have just ruined the whole thing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so she doesn't know, but she instantly came and got me. And so yep. I communicated with her like, yeah, like I would prefer that you don't mess with this. Like,
right.
Don't play with my Bible. It's, yeah. You know, you've got all these toys.
Right. Play with anything else.
Anything else. But also I was very, very intentional in like thanking her
yeah.
for coming and telling me. Mm-hmm. And I let her know yes. those two things.
Yep.
Please don't play with my Bible as a toy. But also mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you came and told me.
Yes.
And I showed her like how easy it was to fix. And I, you know, fix it right there with her. Yep. And yeah. And those types of responses we have found is producing the type of relationships we want with our kids.
Yes. Yeah.
And we're not afraid of the mistakes that they could make.
Right.
Because they're going to make mistakes mm-hmm. and they're going to mess up. They're yep. going to do things that we wouldn't want them to do.
Right.
And we're not afraid of that. I'm more afraid of what would happen if we allowed our kids to grow up without being equipped yeah. with self-control and responsibility.
Right. Do we want them to run away from us when they make a mistake and right. hide? Or do we want them to run to us and say, hey, can you help me? Mm-hmm. Can you help me fix this? Which I feel like, oh, no. Here we go.
Yep.
Again. I feel like it's just such, it's such a beautiful picture of how the Father is with us mm-hmm. and, or at least what he wants to be for us, that like when yeah. we mess up, when we have these times where, you know, we've done something that we know is not the most excellent way, when we've done something that has hurt somebody mm-hmm. else or has hurt ourselves, like what he wants so much from us is to go running to him yeah. and go into his arms rather than saying, I'm going to go and hide in this bush mm-hmm. because I messed up. And I right. don't want to be near you. I want to be as far away from you as possible. Instead, he wants us to come as close as possible so that he can say like, hey, yeah, you messed up. Mm. That's just a fact of it. You already know it. So like, what would it be helpful for me to tell you? No, you didn't mess up.
Yeah.
But instead, you know, show you, comfort you, love you, show you, hey, I don't love you any different mm-hmm. because of what you did.
Right.
It's a bummer, but let's move on together.
Yeah.
Instead of me having to wait for you to come back whenever you feel like you have it all together.
Yeah.
Because that's not real relationship. Mm-hmm. Real relationship is trusting each other in the good and the bad and the ugly times.
Yeah. 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 I love that. Two very relevant instances
yeah.
from today.
Yep.
That's great. Okay, I think that's good for this episode.
Yeah, we checked all the boxes. I cried. We did.
Yep. Okay, great. Well, for everybody watching and listening, if you're watching on YouTube, could you do us a favor and like and subscribe? Because that goes a long way for us. That's extremely helpful. Mm-hmm. And if you're just listening on any podcast platform, wherever you listen, if you could do us a huge favor and give us a review. If you found any value in any of our content, that is extremely helpful for us because that, you know, good reviews push the podcast out further. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, if you could do that for us, that'd be great.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And once again, my name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're making history. We'll see you next time.